Canto 26. While one before the other thus we went along the edge, my master often said, "Watch out, for what I warn is truly meant." The sun now struck me, not from overhead, but more on my right shoulder, for its beams changed all the west from azure into white. But as pale fire, when cloaked with shadow, seems more glowing, so my shadow made the light more visible. For many shades assigned to heed, and their first cause to speak of me, deducing that my flesh might still be mine. "His body," said one, "does not seem to be unreal." And some approached me just as near as they could come without their breaking through to where they would not burn, their only fear. One spoke, "Pray answer, going as you do behind the others, not for tardiness, perhaps, but more for reverence, say what's true. Not only I who burn with thirst, no less from fire long for an answer, but all these long for it as an Ethiopian dreams of cold water. Therefore tell me, please, how comes it you're a wall that stops the sun? And if so far you have escaped death's net?" So spoke one, and I would have said my name right then, had my attention not been set on something else strange. Through the hall of flame, and facing opposite to those we'd met, came people whose appearance held my gaze suspended. Then the shades on either side make haste to kiss each other, a mere graze, because they neither break nor slow their stride. Just as the ants in their dark troop will touch muzzle to muzzle, as they ask the way, perhaps, or how the day goes, it was such with these, who, ending their brief interplay before they took their next step to move on, each tries his hardest to outshout the rest. The ones who just arrived, to get them gone, cry, "Sodom and Gomorrah!" and attest to lusts in spite of nature, while the first group we encountered cries out, "Pasiphae enters the cow to slake her raging thirst with what the bull brings," and so testify to natural lusts ungoverned. Then, like cranes that fly, some to the mountains in the north and some south to the sand, for none remains of these when the frost comes, and those go forth when too much sun shines. So the two crowds go their separate ways, and all return with tears to their first chanting, and the cry they know befits their weakness. By their looks all ears, those came close who'd entreated me before. Twice having seen their need, I said, "Souls who are bound to have at the right time your store of peace, my limbs are not left, either new or old back there. They're here, both blood and joint. It is to be no longer blind I climb. A lady waits above fit to appoint the grace for me by which I conquer time, bringing my mortal body through your world. But so your greatest wish may soon be met, where heaven's love most widely is unfurled, in highest light, say now, so I may yet put pen to parchment, who you are, and what that crowd is that goes back behind you there." The mountain man's no more stunned by his lot, when rough and rustic, with a speechless stare, he comes into the city than each shade was now. But when they were relieved of that amazement, which will always quickly fade in lofty hearts, the one who, puzzled at my shadow, first had spoken, spoke again. "How you are blessed, you that, to better die, take on experience from us. Those men who go the other way from us and cry so differently were guilty of that lust for which, in triumph, Caesar heard the call, 'Regina,' from the crowd, and so they must go crying, 'Sodom,' as you heard, for all with self-reproach and shame thus reinforce their burning. Our sin, on the other hand, was double-sexed, but ran outside the course of human law. Our hunger in command, as with the beasts. So parting we cry now her name, who made, we add to our disgrace, herself a beast inside the timber cow. A beast within a beast. We're in this place for deeds you now know, and our guilt as well. If you would know our names, time would be short to tell you if I could, but I can tell you this much. I can satisfy your thought about who I might be and who I was. I'm Guido Guinizelli, and I make already my purgation here because I sorrowed properly for my soul's sake before the end. as when Lycurgus grieved for his child, and brought to the point of death the woman whose neglect left him bereaved, but her two sons staved off her dying breath by rushing to embrace her. So with some restraint did I become to hear him speak his name, father of me and all that come along with me, and some make me look weak. All those who speak the sweet and graceful rhymes of love, and deaf and dumb I went along a long way, thoughtful, gazing many times at him, the founder of our school of song, but kept from coming near him by the fire. My sight of him once fed, I offered him my services for all he might require, assuring him that this was no mere whim. And he to me, "You leave a trace so clear in me that Lethe can't destroy or dim what you have told me. If you hold me dear, however, if your words are true, you should also inform me why your look and speech show that. Make your affection understood." And I to him, "Sir, your sweet lines that reach from your time into ours, and which will last as long as people talk, have made their ink eternal treasure. Brother, only cast your glance at him ahead, and you might think again," he said while pointing. He surpassed me as a master of the mother tongue. He was the better craftsman in all forms of love verse and romantic tales. Among their writers he stood out. As for the swarms of idiots who hail the boring stuff of Giraud from Limoges, they think to heed a widespread reputation is enough to judge the truth, and if we might not need to hear from art or reason. The same thing once happened with Guittone. One cracked voice croaked to the next that only he could sing. But finally, most made the proper choice, the sweet new style. Now, if you have been graced with so much favor that you have the right to see the cloister where Christ is emplaced as abbot of the brotherhood, you might say, just for me, a paternoster, trimmed of its last words, for here the power to sin is gone from us, and so the need is dimmed for that whole prayer. But others might move in, perhaps, and take his place. He disappeared into the fire as when a fish goes down to the bottom through the water. Then I neared the one who, for the sake of his renown, had earlier been pointed out. His name, I told him, had a place of welcome set in my inquiring soul, and so it came to be that he spoke thus. "We are well met. Your courtly question pleases me so much, I neither may nor could hold back the news of who I am from one with such a touch for gentle manners. How can I refuse?" Matching his mind to his expressive style, in Provençal his eloquence was cast. "I am Arnaud, who weeps and sings the while he walks. I see my follies of the past with grief, and yet I still see with a smile the day I hope I will attain at last. And now I beg of you, by that great good which guides you to the summit of the stairs, that you will think of and have understood in time my sins and penitential cares." The furnace that refines them shone so bright. When he stepped back, he vanished in the light.